Let us pray. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, be with our hearts and in our lives as we speak and listen to your word, and enable us through the power of the Holy Spirit not just to be hearers, but also doers of your word, because you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Amen. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Mark chapter 1, we are told that as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for there were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Our Lord Jesus Christ used the metaphor of fishing for evangelism, winning people to Christ. And I know, as I don't need to remind you, that the work of evangelism is important because it enables people to come to Christ and to experience the sovereignty and the authority and the leadership of God who holds mankind in his hand. And so there is a relationship between evangelism and the sovereignty or the authority and the leadership of God. In his book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, published sometime in 2012, J.I. Packer asks the question, if God is in control of everything, can Christians sit back and not bother to evangelize? Packer concludes that a right understanding of God's sovereignty should enable Christian people to engage in evangelism and mission, to ask people to come to Christ, to ask people to be followers of Jesus. But to attempt to win other people to Christ in our day, especially in most Western countries, is thought to be incompatible with tolerance and even with decency. That is why some churches shy away from evangelistic or mission outreach activities and they replace them with much more respectable activity of social concern. We give them a different name so that people can come, because if we call the name of Jesus, they won't come. So maybe, for example, we say afternoon soup. We are providing afternoon soup to the community. We hide behind activities like Mercy Church. Bring your children and they will make a mess of everything, because we are afraid to talk about Jesus up front. And it is quite interesting for me, who has come from Africa, to see what is happening in the United Kingdom, that a government or a country whose values and principles were laid down because they were actually derived from Scripture, the values of God, they are now putting all these things aside and saying, well, you can't teach religious studies in school because you offend somebody. You can't talk about Christianity in schools. You will offend somebody. And that's a country whose foundation is built on God, or was built on God. So friends, if we are to engage or to be a congregation that upholds and engages in evangelism, we need to be sure that we have correctly understood the mind of our Lord. And our gospel reading this morning is quite clear about what we need to believe and what we need to do. Because after the resurrection of Jesus, he commissioned his followers to go out and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and said they should remember that he will always be with them till the end of the age. And as we are going to see this morning, he anticipated that universal commission by choosing and training the apostles. But we must also notice that the first disciples of Jesus were involved in one kind of fishing, but then Jesus came to them and called them to another kind of fishing, from fishing fish to fishing people. And today we shall look at Jesus' fishing metaphor for evangelism and see what we can learn from it in relation to the people he first called. There are 3 points in our reflection this morning. The first is that fishermen have a clear objective. Fishermen are after fish, and that means a very precise task of fishing. Similarly, the Lord's fishermen have an equally clear objective, which is to catch people for Jesus Christ. Of course, Christian influence in society is very important and very desirable. We need to present a counterculture in the societies in which we live. But evangelism is fishing, and it involves catching people for Jesus Christ. So in much the same way as the fisherman brings fish out of one element into the other, out of water onto the land, so the Lord's fishermen bring people out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. At least Peter possibly had this logic in mind when he declared in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And surely this was what was in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, as evident in verse 14 and 15 of our text. Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So he called people to believe in the good news. He called them to repent of their sins and to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now he calls the apostles to join him in that task. They were to proclaim the same message. They were to bear witness to Jesus, to summon people to repent and to believe in Jesus. And all those who believed in Jesus entered the kingdom of God and received salvation. So you see, the way they were to go out fishing was to preach the good news. That's what fishing men means. It is evangelism, spreading the good news of salvation through Jesus. Our task, therefore, is clearly explained, and it is to tell people about Jesus, to tell people about the love and the leadership of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, do you do that freely and uninhibitedly? Can you talk about Jesus freely in your work, in your job, at your job site, in coffee shops when you drink coffee with your, take coffee with your friends or tea? Can you talk freely to people about Jesus Christ? I tell you, friend, many people are embarrassed to call out the name Jesus. But it is a part of our Christian duty to invite people to turn away from their self-centeredness and sin, and in personal penitence and faith to come to Jesus. That is what it means to go fishing for Jesus. So that's the first thing. Fishermen have a clear objective. And now secondly, fishermen use a variety of methods. According to verse 16 of our text, Jesus called Peter and Andrew while they were actually casting their nets into the lake. And he said to them, "Now I want to teach you to cast a different kind of net into the world." So Some commentators argue that there were at least 24 different species of fish in Lake Galilee, and that in those days, fishermen used 5 different kinds of nets to catch fish. So a variety of nets were used for a variety of fish. And while others, we know, would use not nets at all, but a spear, others will use a line or a hook. So the chief difference between these different kinds of fishes should be plain. Those who use nets for fishing are after what the Bible calls a great multitude of fishes. But spear or line fishermen are content to catch fish one by one. Both methods are still used in fishing today, and both methods are used in evangelism as well. And our Lord Jesus Christ let us spoke of the kingdom of God like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some fish, fish of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach. They sat down and gathered the good into the containers, but the bad they threw away. Matthew 13:47. And you remember that before Jesus Christ, John the Baptist said, the axe is ready to cut the tree at the root, and any tree that will not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into fire. Jesus was referring to the work of the church in the coming centuries, when they will bring people into the church from the north to the south, and from the west to the east, and they will be at the feet of Jesus worshiping him, because at the call of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so the net catches every fish that gets into it, good or bad, but the distinction is made at the end by the fish, not really by the fishermen in the case of discipling, but by Jesus. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, you remember there were 3,000 people who responded and were baptized. I am sure on that day of Peter's experience, he must have remembered with great joy the commission of Jesus that he would be a fisher of men. Peter had thrown out the gospel net that day and enclosed a great multitude of fishes. But although Peter got a great catch that day through mass evangelism, there were others who were personal evangelists. You remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, in which Philip sat down alongside the eunuch in his chariot and told him about the good news of Jesus Christ and of salvation. So this was fishing, but it was one by one. I am sure still today both approaches to evangelism are appropriate. There is a place for massive evangelism and there is a place for personal evangelism. Think of gifted evangelists who organize citywide crusades from one country to another. For example, I'm sure we all remember Billy Graham. He was for many years an outstandingly massive evangelist. And others like him too in Africa. Think of Bishop David Oyedepo and his Nigerian Winners Chapel Pentecostal mega church with branches all over the world. His annual Shiloh gathering in Canaan Land, Nigeria, brings together millions of people, either physically present in Nigeria during their programs or watching live through satellite images from other parts of the globe. But friend, we may not be gifted mass evangelists, but we may have particular gifts and we may be called to personal evangelism. We are all called not to throw out the net just to the world, as it were, but to use a hook or a spear or a line and to throw them out and to seek to win people one by one. But whatever method we use, I think the greatest single qualification for fishermen is patience. Because impatient people who are bent on quick and immediate results never make any good catch. Now, the good fisherman learns to be patient and to persevere. Remember when we were in our teens, myself and other friends in Womb, my little village where I grew up, we used to go fishing. Mostly on Saturdays, and some Saturdays we spent the whole night from morning to night without a catch. And sometimes I went home and felt like Peter. I had toiled all night and caught nothing. Sometimes, however, our patience was rewarded. We went home with a catch of fish. And we enjoyed it when we prepared it ourselves. Now, the Christian fisherman also needs patience. We need loving, tender patience to get to know somebody who a potential catch as a friend. Some people call that friendship evangelism, which is getting alongside somebody, a friend, a relative, or a colleague, and staying alongside that person for a long time in patient love. Getting to know the person as a friend, listening to his or her problems, fears, and reasons for not being a Christian. Patience to understand his or her misunderstandings of the gospel. Patience to enter into his or her mind and heart and pain and loneliness and alienation. Patience to be rebuffed without being offended. We need patience to go on praying and loving and caring and visiting. Patience to wait for God's good time to come when the fish will be gathered into the house of God. Two methods of evangelism, mass evangelism and personal evangelism. And now finally, fishermen need a skilled teacher. You don't pick up a fishing net and walk down to River Tay to do fishing without learning something. It has to be learned. And you have to learn from a teacher who knows his business. Now, Peter and Andrew, James and John, in the Lake of Galilee, must have surely have learned fishing since they were kids. In the Jewish tradition, most traits were passed down from parents and grandparents to their generations. Now, Jesus Christ came to these fishermen, and said, "Follow me, and I will teach you the business of catching men. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of people." So if you have learned your lake fishing from your fathers and grandparents and generations, now you have to learn your people fishing, not from them, but from me. And they did. They spent 3 years with Jesus. They listened to his teaching. They absorbed it deeply, so that when their time came to witness, they were able to do it more easily. They learned the words and methods of Jesus that they were able to draw out of their rich store of knowledge a message that was appropriate and sensitive to the existential realities of the people. They watched Jesus put his fingers into the weak places of people's lives. And all that he did in bringing himself to the real problems of everyday life. But above all, they learned by simply being with him. Follow me. Follow me. Spend time in my presence, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, according to Jesus, means living in the presence of Jesus. And that, you know, is a life-changing experience. After this experience, the disciples were never the same again. They were changed people. They could never have brought people to Christ if he hadn't first changed them by being with them. I have no doubt that the greatest single hindrance, dear friends, to evangelism today is the poverty of our own spiritual experience. We don't make Jesus known to others because we don't know Jesus ourselves. We don't witness to Jesus Christ because we don't feel like it. And we don't feel like it because we are not following him closely, and it becomes embarrassing to talk about him. Evangelism should be the spontaneous overflow of hearts that are full of Christ. So Jesus says, "Follow me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That is, if you want to fish for others, you've got to follow me first. Now, friends, the record of the first disciples is very informative for our discipleship commitment. It suggests that this was no randomness or random selection, but a deliberate choosing that reflected the qualities and experience of these four men. No fewer than four references are made to their day jobs in the text. It was noted there were fishermen working with their casting nets, but the role to which they were called is described as fishers of men. They were to fish people. There is more than a suggestion here that their occupation contributed to their eligibility. Perhaps courage in mighty waters, or alertness and sensitivity to the divine, where catches may be made, or the ability to work together in tough conditions and confined spaces, and also to be able to remain hopeful even after a long night with no catch and ready to begin the new day. But we must remember, as disciples of Jesus, we must be clear about our objective, which is to bring others to Christ. We must aim to employ multiple methods to do so. It may either be mass evangelism or personal evangelism, and we must be strong and patient in adversity and ready to learn at the feet of Jesus. Hudson Taylor said, "I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up by asking him to do his work through me." Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we hear the echo of the voice of your Son, Jesus Christ, even today. Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Help us, O merciful Father, to heed that call and to follow Jesus and ask others to follow him. Those simple words, follow me. Amen.